Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million. Let's go.
Okay.
That's what you call it. Just-in-time hosting right there. That's what that is. Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Today, making it make sense, that's what we do.
Indeed, and I'm Kimberly Adams. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday. It is February the 21st, and we're glad to have you along with us.
We are going to do what we always do on a Wednesday: news, smiles, and then carry out the plan of the day. What do you got, Ms. Adams, if you want to go first? I'm happy to go first. If you want to go second, it's up to you.
You know what? Why don't you go first?
All right. Crazy story in the Wall Street Journal today, which kind of makes you do a double take. I will read you the headline and then discuss briefly. You should read this article. U.S. to invest billions to replace China-made cranes at nation's ports. We're talking about these giant cranes that take containers off container ships and get them onto the trucks and then send them out into this economy. The fear is basically that by using Chinese-made cranes, which will have capacity, the United States fears, to track what is coming in and out of this country, a not unreasonable fear, it seems to me, we are placing ourselves at a strategic disadvantage. Now, should somebody have thought of this a while ago? Yes. Are we going to spend billions? Clearly, yes, we are. Wild, wild, wild story. It's infrastructure. It's corporate espionage. It is national security. It's wild. I don't even know what to say. Isn't that amazing? So drive by a big port. Drive by like Oakland or LA or Baltimore or whatever. Look at those cranes. Most of them are Chinese made, and they're spying on us. Actually, that's not fair. The government fears they are spying on us.
Or that they have the capacity
right,
to.
Right. Or that
that
they
is
could.
A wild
Isn't that
story.
Crazy?
DC is often like, for many years, was like the city of cranes. And one interesting economic indicator has been to sort of look out at the skyline and the drastic reduction of cranes. Because for a while, it was like nothing but cranes. I remember at one point, I spotted 40 cranes that I could just see from my window. And now, last time I looked, I think there's like two or three. Yep. But yeah,
totally wild.
You're right.
Totally wild.
Never would have thought of it.
No, never would have. And clearly nobody did until like recently. And they went,
right. Yeah. I remember all the drama when China wanted to buy some ports.
I was thinking of that. Dubai Ports World. You remember that? Yeah.
Yeah, that was a huge thing. Yep. But, I guess there's a way in regardless.
Yeah.
All right. So when I was hosting tech, I guess like a year or two ago, however long ago that was, when the Dobbs decision actually came down. And one of the potential fallouts that people brought up as a potential outcome of the Dobbs decision overturning Roe v. Wade was what it would mean for IVF and egg freezing. And a bunch of folks on the, happy about the decision side, we're like, oh no, people are exaggerating, no big deal, not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So fast forward to today, or actually Friday, when I'm going to read here from the Washington Post, the Alabama Supreme Court ruled Friday that frozen embryos are people and someone can be held liable for destroying them, a decision that reproductive rights advocates say could imperil in vitro fertilization and affect the hundreds of thousands of patients who depend on treatments like it every year. The first of its kind ruling comes as 11 states have broadly defined personhood as beginning at fertilization in their state laws. So this case is having to do with a patient who mistakenly dropped and destroyed other couples' frozen embryos could be held liable in a wrongful death lawsuit. It's a really tragic story, obviously, involving people's families and really difficult choices. But the court ruled that the patient could be held liable for wrongful death, meaning that those, you know, because the it had long held that unborn children are children, and that was also true for frozen embryos, affording the fertilized eggs the same protection as babies under the wrongful death of a minor act. So jump over to thehill.com with the story now that the University of Alabama at Birmingham Health System is pausing all in vitro fertilization treatments for fear of lawsuits and criminal prosecution following the recent ruling from the state's court. The spokesperson said the health system is evaluating the decision. And, you know, that's going to have impacts on a lot of families who rely on this. And, you know, if you layer that on top of the flight of, you know, OBGYNs and other prenatal and healthcare workers from states where these laws are kicking in, it's going to be a lot harder for people to have children safely in these places that ironically are trying to protect children or unborn children or all the different classifications.
Right. Let's get it down to the very micro, right? There is right now somewhere in Alabama a woman who's been injecting herself with hormones for however long that cycle is, right? Who has spent many tens of thousands of dollars
right,
to get ready for egg harvesting and then in vitro fertilization. And that's not happening now, you know?
And I think about all the women who delay pregnancy or, you know, they use egg freezing so they can focus on their careers or you're undergoing cancer treatments or any of the many reasons that people choose to, you know, freeze their eggs and delay pregnancy. And now we'll have to, you know, or what happens if you harvest 10 eggs and they all take and all of a sudden you have 10 fertilized embryos. Are you then obligated to have 10 children or you're
a
murderer?
Oh, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that one. That's a good point, right?
Right, yeah, because what usually happens to those fertilized eggs. They usually get destroyed once the people have had whatever children they want. And there's a lot of repercussions of this that are coming down the pipeline. So, wow.
So let's change gears, Jake.
What's your smile, Kai?
So I, for a number of years, have followed a guy on, it started back like when Google Reader was a thing. A guy by the name of Joel Kottke, who's been around for 20, 25 years, just collecting random things from the internet and curates them. And here's what he had on today. Man in backyard talks to orbiting astronauts using homemade antenna. Apparently, this is actually a thing. Ham radio operators can talk to astronauts on the space station, like when they pass overhead. It's like a known thing and in the ham community. That's crazy.
This was a scene in Gravity. Did you see Gravity with Sandra Bullock?
I did see Gravity. I don't remember this one because I was so concentrated on the, oh my God, what a horrible story, being stuck in space alone. But anyway.
I'm really surprised that movie did not win more awards because I was on the edge of my seat the whole time.
Yeah.
So good. But there was a moment where, you know, she's in there by herself and she's trying, you know, she's already lost George Clooney and all the things. And she's trying to get one of the radios to work in, I guess, the new capsule that she got into.
Oh.
And she actually hears somebody speaking Chinese to her. And she realizes that it's just some ham radio operator who happened to pick up the signal, and she
has
kind of a chuckle. And it's
totally.
So that's the only reason I know about this, because I went and looked it up at the time. I'm like, no way.
It's really cool. Anyway.
Yeah, it is really cool.
Yeah.
All right. So mine is a make me smile in, you know, the face of climate change. There's a lot of heat-related deaths. This is terrible. This is awful. But for as much as we talk about inaction in Congress and the things that you can't do anything about, this is a really nice story in the Washington Post about people who organized themselves, who advocated, who protested, and actually made change happen. Because there is a group of people in Florida who got themselves together and pushed for the strongest, as they say in the post, the strongest set of workplace heat protections in the United States. They were not put in place by local, state, or federal regulators, but by the workers who spent years organizing to push companies to adopt them. This was a set of standards put in place by the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, a nonprofit that represents farm workers, the Fair Food Program that certifies farms, and they pressured the big chains like McDonald's, Taco Bell's, Walmart, Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, and now these workers, when it's hot, they can take a 10-minute break for every 2 hours. If they feel heat illness coming on, they can cool down in the shade. Their companies that they work for have to provide clean water, shaded rest areas, and nearby bathrooms for all of its workers, which seems like the absolute bare minimum. Mm-hmm. But were rights that people had to fight for, and they got them. And, you know, it's a really beautiful story. It's got amazing illustrations, lots of firsthand accounts from the people who are actually involved in this fight. And, you know, the story, it made me smile. Yeah. So
no, cool.
I am very happy to hear about people taking their future into their own hands and doing something to change it, and it working.
It's a great story.
Yay.
Great
story. Yes. Yes, it is a good story. And that's all the stories that we have for today. So we are going to be back tomorrow with our special weekly audio show. So if there's a clip of something that you think we should hear and talk about, definitely send it our way. You can send audio clips. You can send voice memos. You can send thoughts, questions, comments to makemesmart@marketplace.org. You can also leave us a voicemail at 508-UB-SMART.
Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergseeker. Ellen Rolfes writes our newsletter. Today's program was engineered by Jake Cherry. Talia Menchaca is our intern.
Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. Our senior producer is Marissa Cabrera. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcast. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital.
And there we go.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.